Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive.
Yeah,
Today we're
yeah.
going to be looking at the pragmatic approach to software development.
Okay.
And I'm really excited about this one because you've been sharing some really cool articles on project management.
Yes.
And I think that the insights from this excerpt are going to really nicely complement that.
Absolutely. Yeah, the pragmatic programmer is really fascinating because it goes way beyond just software.
Yeah.
You can use the principles in anything complex.
Right.
Like you could use this for a marketing campaign or, you know, even a scientific research project.
Yeah, it's about approaching an AnyWise system with that same kind of careful thought and attention that a programmer would bring to building software.
Right.
So to kick things off,
okay,
let's jump into this idea of treating your skills like an investment portfolio, which is something that the book emphasizes right from the start.
Yes, and it's such a powerful analogy because just like with your financial investments, you know, you need diversification to sort of weather those market fluctuations.
Right.
Your skill set needs a mix of expertise and regular updates to stay relevant and valuable.
And the source had this really interesting real-world example of how this plays out in real life.
Oh, yeah.
There was a team who was only working with relational databases,
okay,
the older ones, and then all of a sudden, their project required expertise in the newer NoSQL databases.
Gotcha.
And so they had to scramble to catch up.
Right.
And it ended up costing them a lot of time and money.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
It just shows you how risky it can be to get too specialized. Especially these days, the tech landscape is constantly changing. So, you know, it's like cutting edge today could be obsolete tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's really smart to analyze your own expertise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself, what skills could I invest in
that
would broaden my capabilities and help me stay ahead of the curve?
Yeah, and that's that pragmatic approach, right?
Exactly.
Like, you're not just holding one type of stock.
Right.
You're diversifying your portfolio of skills.
Yeah.
And that's a smart move for anybody, no matter what field you're in.
Absolutely.
So speaking of smart moves.
Okay.
This next principle is all about working smarter, not harder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the DRY principle.
I love this one.
Don't repeat yourself.
So important. Duplication is the enemy of efficiency.
Yeah.
And it can be a total maintenance nightmare.
Yeah.
So think about it like this.
Okay.
You've got a formula for calculating discounts in an e-commerce app.
Okay.
And that formula is copied and pasted everywhere.
Okay.
Now imagine you need to update it.
Right.
You got to go hunt down every single instance of that formula.
Oh, man. I can totally see how that would be a recipe for errors.
Exactly.
Like, imagine having to fix the same bug in like a dozen different spots.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so much better to centralize that logic.
Right.
Make it accessible from one place.
It just makes so much more sense.
It does. And by applying that DRY principle, you create the single source of truth.
Right.
So it just streamlines your workflow. It makes everything more consistent.
Right.
It's easier to manage. It's easier to update.
That's all good things.
Right. All good things.
Yeah.
So as we go through our day, think about where we encounter repetition.
Okay.
Is there a report that you create every week?
Yeah.
Or a series of emails you send that could be templated?
Hmm.
That's an opportunity to DRY things out.
Love it. And that ties in really nicely to this next concept,
okay,
which is all about creating systems that can adapt and evolve without breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
And that is code orthogonality.
Oh, okay.
Now, that might sound technical,
yeah,
but the idea is universally applicable.
Right. So think of it like this.
Okay.
You're building a house, and the plumbing is totally separate from the electrical.
Right.
So if you have a problem with one, it's not going to impact the other. You want that same independence in the systems that you create.
So rather than having these tightly intertwined components where a change in one area can trigger a cascade of issues, you're designing for separation and modularity.
Exactly.
The example in the excerpt was talking about separating a payment service from a logging service.
Right.
But thinking about these project management systems you've been talking about, I bet you've experienced the opposite, where every update seems to break something else.
Oh, all the time?
Yeah.
Classic symptom of tightly coupled components.
Yeah.
And it is super frustrating.
Yeah.
So as you're looking at your own work, think about, are there parts of your projects or your systems that could benefit from being a bit more independent?
Right.
Like, could a task be broken down into smaller, more self-contained units?
Yeah.
Or could a document be modularized?
Okay.
So that you can update sections independently?
Yeah.
That built-in flexibility makes a huge difference in the long run.
It's like creating building blocks.
Right.
That can be rearranged and repurposed as needed.
Yeah.
Without bringing the whole structure down.
Exactly.
Speaking of structures and keeping things in good shape.
Okay.
The broken window theory is one of the most interesting concepts in this excerpt.
It's a good one.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
Because it goes beyond software.
Huh?
It speaks to a universal truth about maintaining any system.
Right.
And it's basically that ignoring those small problems.
Yeah.
Those little cracks in the facade.
Right.
Creates an environment where bigger issues can take root and spread. Like, it reminds me of that saying.
What's that?
For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost.
Right.
And for want of a horse, the rider was lost.
Yeah. Neglecting something small can have huge consequences down the line.
Yes.
Like a ripple effect.
Totally.
So in software, those broken windows are things like messy code.
Okay.
Outdated documentation. Or even quick fixes that just introduce technical debt.
Yeah. The book used the example of a legacy system.
Oh, yeah.
That became this, like, bloated, unmanageable mess.
Wow.
Because they were constantly just patching over small issues.
Oh, so they weren't addressing them properly.
Yo, they were just like putting a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah.
And so it just got worse and worse.
It's like letting dishes pile up in the sink.
Yeah.
Eventually, it's just a daunting task.
Totally.
And the problem just gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, so let's take a moment.
Oh, okay.
Reflect. Mm. What are your broken windows?
Yeah, good question.
At work.
Right.
In your personal projects, maybe it's a spreadsheet that's become super convoluted and hard to navigate.
Okay.
Or a process that's become inefficient. But you just keep putting off streamlining it.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's as simple as that drawer full of random cables and chargers that you know you should organize.
Oh, yeah.
But you just haven't gotten around to it yet.
We all have those.
We all have them.
Yeah.
But the key takeaway here
is
acknowledging those small issues.
Mm-hmm.
And addressing them early can prevent them from escalating into much bigger headaches down the road.
It's so true.
So we've identified our broken windows, those little things that could turn into big problems if we don't address them.
Right.
How do we go about fixing them?
Well, that's where refactoring comes in.
Okay.
And the cool thing about refactoring
is
it's all about improving that underlying structure and the efficiency without actually changing how it works on the outside.
Okay.
Like renovating a house.
Right.
You might like redo the plumbing and the electrical, but from the outside, it still looks the same.
Yeah. The source had this really neat example.
Oh, yeah.
About this in action.
Okay.
It was a customer feedback feature that was causing performance issues.
Oh, no.
Because it was putting too much strain on the database.
Right.
So instead of just getting rid of the feature, they refactored those database queries.
Okay.
And then they added caching.
Gotcha.
To optimize how the data was retrieved.
Smart.
Yeah, they basically gave the system a tune-up.
Right. And what was the result?
Improved performance without any noticeable changes to the user experience.
That's great. So refactoring isn't like a one-time fix. It's
this
continuous process of refining things.
Yeah.
So as you learn more about the system, as your needs change, you just adapt and improve and make sure everything runs smoothly.
It's like taking your car in for regular maintenance.
Yeah.
Changing the oil, rotating the tires, making sure everything's running at peak performance.
Like preventative care for your systems.
Yeah. And speaking of avoiding problems before they arise.
Okay.
Let's talk about tracer bullets.
Ooh, another good one.
This is another gem from the Pragmatic Programmer.
I love this analogy
because
it really captures what iterative development is all about.
Right.
So instead of trying to get this perfect, fully formed solution out of the gate, you're firing a tracer bullet, which is like a minimal functional prototype.
Okay.
And you use that to get quick feedback.
Gotcha.
And you can sort of course correct along the way.
So the source was talking about this company that was developing a recommendation engine.
Okay.
And they could have spent months building this super complex algorithm.
Right.
Only to find out that users weren't even interacting with the recommendations.
Oh.
But they didn't do that.
Okay.
They built a basic prototype.
Mm-hmm.
Got it in front of users.
Yeah.
Observed how they were interacting with it.
Smart.
And that real world feedback is just invaluable.
It is. It really helps validate your assumptions.
Right.
It might uncover unexpected user behaviors.
Yeah.
So you can make these informed decisions about where to focus your efforts.
Yeah, it's kind of like conducting a survey.
Mm-hmm.
before you launch a new product.
Right. You're gathering insights to make sure you're building something people actually want.
Exactly.
So it's about embracing experimentation and learning instead of getting bogged down in planning.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I am so guilty of that.
Planning and analysis paralysis.
Yes. I overthink everything.
We all do.
I know, but it's good to know that.
It's human nature.
Yeah.
But we can break free from it.
Yes.
We just got to recognize the value of prototyping and feedback.
Exactly. So as you're starting your next project, think about how you can incorporate this tracer bullet approach. Could you create like a basic version of a feature to get early feedback from stakeholders?
Good idea.
Or could you test out different messaging strategies with a smaller audience?
Yeah.
Before you roll out the full-scale campaign.
Exactly. So it's all about getting comfortable with imperfection and embracing that iterative process.
Totally. And you know what can also help us? Streamline our processes.
What's that?
And reduce that sense of overwhelm.
Automation.
Yes.
The excerpt talks about this a lot.
It's crucial.
Yeah. And I think it's a really key part of building systems that are sustainable.
Absolutely, because it's all about freeing yourself from those tedious, repetitive tasks.
Right.
So you can focus on what you're really good at.
Right.
Like the stuff that needs your creativity and your problem-solving skills.
Your human intelligence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The book had this story about a team that was doing manual deployments.
Oh, no.
And it was leading to all these errors and outages.
Yeah.
It wasn't until they automated the whole deployment process that they finally got that stability and reliability.
I can totally relate to that.
Oh, yeah.
I used to spend hours every month manually generating these reports.
Ugh.
It was such a drain on my time and energy.
Yeah.
But once I automated that process, it was like this huge weight had been lifted.
It's amazing how much mental bandwidth we free up.
When we hand off those soul-crushing tasks to machines, then we can focus on the high-level stuff.
Yes.
The problem-solving, the innovation.
Exactly. So let's brainstorm.
Okay.
What tasks in your daily workflow could benefit from automation?
Good question.
Maybe it's sending reminder emails.
Right.
Backing up your files. Mm. Or even scheduling social media posts.
There are so many tools to help streamline this stuff.
There are.
And reclaim that precious time.
Yeah. And when we automate those mundane tasks, it creates space for the work that really lights us up.
Totally. And as our systems get more and more complex, we start connecting all these different pieces. Ugh. It's super important to set some clear boundaries and expectations.
Okay.
And that's where design by contract comes in.
So it's like a set of rules that govern how different parts of the system are going to interact with each other.
Yeah, to make sure they all play nicely together.
It kind of reminds me of APIs. You have a clearly defined interface that says, here's how you interact with this service.
Exactly. It's like you're creating a contract between the different components.
Right.
Each one agrees to do its part in a specific way.
Uh-huh.
And in return, they can count on the other components to hold up their end of the bargain.
So the excerpts use the example of microservices.
Okay.
Which are basically these little self-contained units of functionality that talk to each other through APIs.
Right.
So by defining a clear API contract for each one of those microservices, you ensure that changes in one service don't break other parts of the system.
And versioning those contracts is super important.
Yeah.
Because then you can evolve the different parts independently without having to worry about compatibility issues.
Yeah. So it's like everyone's speaking the same language.
Exactly.
And following the same set of rules.
Yes.
So if we zoom out a little bit, think about this in the context of like a team project. Mm-hmm. How can we apply this?
Well, you could start by clearly defining roles and responsibilities.
Right.
Setting expectations for communication and deliverables.
Right.
Or even just making sure everyone understands the goals of the project.
So it's all about establishing that shared context from the beginning.
Exactly.
Which can help us avoid so many misunderstandings.
Yeah, it gets everyone on the same page.
And speaking of shared understanding, let's talk about the importance of using the right tools for the job.
Yes, the don't live with broken tools principle.
We've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
We put up with clunky software or that inefficient process because it's familiar.
Or we're scared to learn something new.
Yes, or because we're afraid of the learning curve.
But the truth is, those broken tools are costing us.
Yeah.
They're costing us time and energy.
And ultimately, they're affecting the quality of our work.
Yeah. The book told this story about this dev team
Okay.
that was stuck with this slow and unreliable build system.
Oh.
And they were spending hours just waiting for these builds to finish.
Oh, man.
It was killing their productivity.
Yeah.
They finally upgraded to a modern build system, and they couldn't believe how much they'd been held back.
It's like trying to write a novel on a typewriter.
Yeah.
When you have a perfectly good laptop.
Right. The right tools can just completely transform how effective you are.
They can. And they can make it so much more enjoyable.
It's true.
It's about recognizing when our tools are holding us back.
Yeah.
And being willing to invest in an upgrade.
So let's take a look around.
Okay.
What tools are you putting up with that are slowing you down?
Yeah.
Or adding friction to your work?
It could be anything.
It could be a slow laptop, a clunky project management system, a messy inbox.
Sometimes we just need that little push to acknowledge that we deserve better tools.
We do. Tools that help us do our best work.
Exactly. Okay, so we've talked about the tools and the processes, but what about the people?
Yes, the human element.
Building software, or frankly, ANY, kind of a complex system. It's a team sport.
It is.
And that's where this idea of pragmatic teams comes in.
So true. We can have the best tools, the best principles.
Yeah.
But if we don't have good collaboration and communication, it's all for nothing.
Totally. The source had this perfect example of this team where miscommunication between the developers and the operations team was causing just tons of deployment headaches.
Classic.
They were operating in silos, which led to a lot of finger pointing and frustration.
It happens.
So it was a classic case of communication breakdown leading to all this inefficiency and delays.
Right.
And they ended up adopting DevOps practices and creating these cross-functional teams.
That's great.
Which helped foster this sense of shared responsibility.
Yeah.
And it broke down those communication barriers.
I love that.
Me too. It's about recognizing that we're all in this together.
We are.
And that open communication and collaboration are just essential for success.
They are.
So thinking about our own teams and our work environments, what's one small thing we could do today to improve communication?
That's a good challenge. What could we do?
Maybe just scheduling a quick check-in with a colleague.
Okay.
Or setting up a shared doc for project updates.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just being more mindful of how we're phrasing our feedback.
It's the little things.
Yeah, those little things can have a ripple effect.
They can.
It's those small, consistent actions that create a culture of collaboration and respect.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the pragmatic programmer.
The pragmatic approach to software development.
Yeah.
I'm struck by how these principles go way beyond just writing code.
Oh, for sure.
They really are universal principles.
They are.
For building anything that lasts.
It doesn't matter if it's a software system,
right.
a marketing campaign,
yeah.
a research project, even our own personal productivity systems.
It's all about approaching our work.
Yeah.
With intention and clarity.
Uh-huh.
And a willingness to adapt and evolve.
And probably the most pragmatic thing we can do.
What's that?
Is commit to continuous learning.
Yeah.
So the principles we talked about today, they're a starting point.
Yeah.
Not the finish line.
So as you go out there and build amazing things.
Yes. Go build amazing things.
Remember to invest in your skill set. Eliminate duplication.
Yes.
Embrace automation.
Automate all the things.
And build strong communication with your teams.
So important.
Most importantly.
Yeah.
Keep that curiosity alive.
Stay curious.
And never stop learning.
Never stop.
We'd love to hear about the broken windows you're tackling.
Yeah.
Or those automation ideas that you're putting into practice.
Let us know.
Until next time, happy building.
Mm.